Welcome to Transmissions Alt Mode, where we look at the latest comics and other media featuring the Transformers. In this episode, we review Transformers number 6 as we reach the epic conclusion of the first arc in Skybound's new series. Today is Friday, March 22nd, 2024, and this is episode 382 of Transmissions Alt Mode.
Welcome to Transmissions Alt Mode, the podcast that soon shall become one with the Matrix. I'm your host, Charles, a.k.a. Big C, and I'm joined by the excellent Transmissions team. Jeremy, a.k.a. Yakko.
Hi, how's it going?
Char, a.k.a. Robo Apollo.
Hi, everyone.
And Daryl, the Cybertronian Beast.
What is that intro implying? Are we dying? Let's talk Transformers.
Death is just another transformation. Right?
I guess.
Spoilers. As always, we start off the show by thanking our Donatrons, those lovely people who support us on Patreon and PayPal. We really appreciate that. Thank you all for continuing to contribute and help us keep the show going. If you are a Donatron, if you are not a Donatron, you can go to transmissionspodcast.com/support. And that's where you can sign up. If you are a Donatron, you get access to all our bonus content. You can watch us record the show live. Bonus content, including our bonus show, We Like Big Bots. And you can check that out. That's starring Daryl and Dr. Pants. We've got 12 episodes up on our Patreon page. More coming at some point, eventually, maybe. We'll ask Dr. Pants about it next week when he's here.
That's a good idea. He's the brains.
Of course, we've also got our Transformers Live Play RPG podcast, Empire of Rust. That is, we've got that showing. We've got that season 3 of Empire of Rust started. It started last week. It's in full swing. We had episode 110, Sweet Home Cybertron, that came out last week. That's at transmissionspodcast.com/rust. All our Donatrons get access to the early uncut version of episode 111, Thank You for Revving, and that is available now on our Patreon page. And then the regular version of that will be out next Monday, March 25th. So we'll look forward to that just a couple of days. That, again, is at transmissionspodcast.com/rust. You can also buy our exclusive Skybound Transformers number 1 cover with artwork by EJ Sue. And that's at transmissionspodcast.com/comic. If you are going to TFCon Toronto, we will have copies there. So you can pre-order that there for pickup at TFCon Toronto. Or if you just want us to ship it to you, we will ship it directly to you. So either way. And of course, lastly, we've got our Toy Hacks March promo code. So use that code LuckyBots at toyhacks.com. For 15% off all your orders there. So take advantage of that whenever you want. Toyhacks.com, 15% off. Lucky Bots cannot be combined with any other promo codes or discounts, but it can be used with Robo Points. So support Toyhacks.com, celebrating 25 years of repro labels at Toyhacks. So they've been around a long time. All right, let's get into our comic review. So, before we start off, spoilers for Transformers number 6. This is the last issue in the first story arc of Skybound's new Transformers series. I think it went off pretty well. Pretty exciting, pretty surprising. So we're going to talk about the whole story. If you haven't read it yet, go stop the podcast now, get the comic, read it, enjoy it, and then come back and we're going to go through it and talk about what we thought of it. So here we go. Last chance before spoilers. Spoilers ahoy. All right. Transformers number 6, writer and artist Daniel Warren Johnson, colorist Mike Spicer, letterer Russ Wooten, editor Sean Makowitz, publication design Andre Suarez, production Richard Mercado. There were a bajillion different covers, as usual, for the Skybound Energon Universe comics. And I'm sure there will be more for second printings and third printings and et cetera, et cetera. So, yeah. So we're not going to really go through the covers, but we're going to talk about the story and the artwork as we go through this. All right. We jump right into the action following the end of issue 5. Sparky watches in horror as the Constructicon combiner Devastator devastates the Autobots. Optimus Prime orders the Autobots to retreat to the safety of the Ark while the Decepticons continue to press their attack. Cliffjumper and Carly witness the carnage from a few yards away. Cliffjumper accelerates towards the battle to help his friends, but Carly grabs the steering wheel and pulls hard to turn Cliffjumper off the road. Cliffjumper is surprised and confused, but Carly urges him to be more cautious. She reminds him that they're both smaller and weaker, so they've got to use their wits to stay alive and help the Autobots win. Cliffjumper transforms to robot mode and reluctantly agrees. They find an open access port for the Ark higher up and plan to sneak in that way. Meanwhile, Starscream, standing at the entrance to the Ark, revels in watching Devastator's rampage as the Autobots struggle to stay alive. But he was celebrating too much and too soon and didn't notice Optimus Prime making for the Ark's doorway. Prime kicks Starscream hard, knocking him to the ground and out of the way so the Autobots can get inside. He covers the Autobots' retreat, firing Megatron's fusion cannon at the attacking Decepticons. But when he's forced to stop firing to protect Sparky from Thundercracker's return blasts, Devastator takes advantage of his distraction. The giant bot grabs Prime by the leg, lifts him up, and smashes him to the ground over and over again. Devastator is not known for his finesse, and he inadvertently hits Starscream with Prime's body in his eagerness to smash the Autobot leader. Starscream is sent flying some distance away. Jazz, RC, and Sparky pour on the firepower and manage to distract Devastator enough to get him to drop Prime's body, but the damage has been done. Jazz keeps firing while Ratchet, having already lost one leg to Devastator, crawls, and RC drags Prime's body inside the Ark. Before they can get far, Devastator grabs Ratchet's other leg and tries to drag him back out. Jazz tries to save him, but Ratchet just tells Jazz to close the Ark's blast door. He does, severing Ratchet's other leg, but keeping Devastator out. Devastator is enraged at being denied his prey and smashes the Ark door further. Soundwave tries to get Devastator back under control, telling him to stop, as they still need the Ark as a base of operations. He tells him they can get into the Ark on the other side of the mountain where there is less rock covering the ship. Back to Cliffjumper and Carly, they reach the open access port higher up in the Ark and start to look for weapons or anything that can help the Autobots. But they're interrupted by Starscream, who crawls in behind them. He's happy to kill another weak Autobot and an even weaker human. Both Cliffjumper and Carly have personal reasons to want Starscream dead, and Starscream welcomes them to try. But he's confident he'll add two more kills to his list. Inside the Ark, the Autobots gather around the shattered form of Optimus Prime. Sparky doesn't understand. Why can't Ratchet fix him? Ratchet looks back sadly and says Prime's wounds are too severe. Optimus knows his time is short. He opens his chest and prepares to pass the Matrix of Leadership to one of his fellow Autobots. But his strength fails him and the Matrix falls to the ground, unclaimed. All the while, the sounds of Devastator's attack on the Ark's hull can be heard. In moments, the Decepticons will break through to finish the Autobots once and for all. Sparky looks at the glowing energy inside the Matrix and makes a choice. He tells Prime to watch over his world and his son. He asks Prime to tell Spike when he wakes that Sparky was always proud of him. Sparky steps into the center of the Matrix, merging his life energy with the Cybertronian artifact. Since the Matrix is still connected to Optimus Prime, the added energy from Sparky's sacrifice reinvigorates and repairs Optimus Prime's body and spark. Prime rises, reclaims the Matrix, and puts it inside his chest. He tells Sparky he won't forget his sacrifice and that he'll protect his son and the whole Earth, starting with taking care of Devastator. Just then, Devastator finally breaks through the Ark's hull and reaches inside, but he didn't expect a fully functional Prime to be ready for it. Prime grabs one of Devastator's fingers and rips it clean off, using it like a club to knock Thundercracker down in the process. Devastator recoils in pain while Prime grabs his laser rifle and fires that and Megatron's fusion cannon point blank at Devastator's looming form. Then Prime rushes forward and delivers a mighty jump kick to Devastator's head. Back in the Ark's upper chamber, Starscream has Cliffjumper in a headlock, gloating about how much he enjoyed murdering his clan. Carly finds one of the Autobot weapons and struggles to lift it and aim at Starscream while he's distracted. Cliffjumper tells Carly, "Now!" and she pulls the trigger, catching Starscream in the chest and knocking him down. Now Cliffjumper has him at his mercy. He puts the gun to Starscream's head as Starscream begs for his life. Carly tells him to pull the trigger, but Cliffjumper hesitates. He can't do it. Despite all the pain Starscream has brought to him and Carly, he can't murder him in cold blood. Unfortunately, Starscream was not incapacitated, and he immediately uses Cliffjumper's hesitation to get back up and get the upper hand. He grabs Carly and starts squeezing. On the mountainside, Optimus Prime transforms to truck mode and leads Devastator out of the Ark. Devastator is in a berserker rage to catch and kill Prime, so he follows him blindly up the mountain. Prime continues to taunt him and transforms back to robot mode, yelling for Devastator to come and get him. Prime stands at the peak of the mountain as Devastator rushes towards him. Devastator reaches for him in his rage, and Prime uses the monster's own momentum against him. He manages to lift Devastator over his head and flip him up and over the mountain peak. Devastator screams in rage, pain, and fear as the giant bot plummets to the ground. On the way down, he smashes into the gloating Starscream, causing him to release Carly from his grip and crushing Starscream to the ground with him. Devastator is forcibly broken into his component Constructicons while Starscream is just broken, but still alive. The Constructicons realize they've lost and transform to their vehicle modes to retreat, taking Starscream with them. Back at the Ark, Soundwave takes the deactivated body of Ravage and prepares to depart with the other Decepticons. Optimus Prime tells him to wait. He implores Soundwave to work with him to find a way to save Cybertron, rather than continue this destructive conflict. Soundwave looks at him and hesitates for a moment, then tries to sucker punch him. But Prime was ready for him and easily blocks the attack. He tells Soundwave he desires peace, but he is no fool. Thundercracker transforms to a jet mode, and Soundwave grabs hold as they fly away. Until next time, Decepticon. Back at the hospital, Spike is finally awake. The doctor tells him not to try to speak since he's still on a breathing machine. Spike gets a pencil and paper and writes a simple question. Where's my dad? Where indeed, Spike. Where indeed. To be continued. That is the earth-shattering conclusion of Transformers. Well, not conclusion. Conclusion of the first story arc, so... There's still more Transformers story to be told. Transformers number 7 is coming April 10th. That's what the back of the book says. So, you know, just 4 weeks from now, we'll have another installment and we'll continue this story. But yeah, I got to say these first six issues from Daniel Warren Johnson really impressed me. I think he gets the Transformers, like he gets the characters, he gets the story, he gets the storytelling. He did a lot of unique things in this book. The artwork, his art style, I think is amazing. I know it's hard to do write and draw a book at the same time and do that month to month. I think he had like a year head start, so he was able to do it. He's passing over art duties to a new artist next issue. So, but he's continuing to write. So I'm looking forward to more of this story. I think this was great. That was the really unique way to use the Matrix as a MacGuffin. You know, I was not expecting to have a human merge with the Matrix and that to be the thing that saves the day. That was, I think, sometimes we complain about there being too much humans or too, you know, humans getting too much of the focus. I think the humans were really used perfectly in this 6-issue story arc. It was really interesting to see the shift of the humans go away from Spike and towards Carly and Sparky for the latter half of the story. And I think that those personalities and relationships are really well developed, particularly Carly and Cliffjumper and Sparky and Optimus Prime. I think all these things were really well done. The battles, of course, were epic. I mean, having Devastator be the conclusion of the story arc, and really poured on the desperate situation for the Autobots. It was really brutal. But then, of course, you have to have the hero moment at the end with Optimus Prime. You know the song. You know the reference. Yeah. And have that be part of the comic.
Did you not notice that the PDF that we had actually said the name of the song?
I thought I'd seen, since I had the real issue now, I was going off of that, but I did. I thought that's what it said in the PDF, but
yeah, the original PDF that we got given ahead of time for review copy, it actually, in that part where it says, you know, the song, it says, you got the touch. So,
yeah,
I'm assuming that's a change that Hasbro asked them to make.
That's why this says the review copy says it's not final.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it works better as you know the song. I think that's even, yeah, that's even cleverer. I think it's yeah, awesome. I mean, I love the use of the background word art. I think this is all in the art, not for Russ Wooten, mm-hmm, the letterer, like all the uh-huh, stuff he's like that Daniel Warren Johnson has put in the background here, which I think it's great. I mean, like, even like you have the panel with Optimus Prime when he's firing the fusion cannon and the and his gun, and it says "Oh yeah" in the background there. Yeah. No, yeah, that's great. Very happy, very happy. I do have one nitpick that I want to just throw out there in the storyline. The part with Cliffjumper and Starscream, like, Cliffjumper, you got to pull the trigger. I'm sorry, man. I mean, I know you don't want to kill somebody in cold blood, but Starscream's not he's not going to be redeemed. He wasn't even incapacitated. You can't like just back away and like turn your back to him while he wasn't even that hurt. He got stunned a little bit, but he was getting back up. You got to pull the trigger. At the very least, you got to, like, you know, shoot his arms and legs off so he can't keep moving or something. But, you know, you can't just like turn your back and say, no, I can't do it. I mean, that just felt, I understand, like, I mean, you want to show Cliffjumper being a little bit, you know, like humanize him a little bit, but this is war. I mean, we've seen the brutality that the Decepticons have done throughout these 6 issues. I don't think this is not the time for mercy for the Decepticons at that point. You know, I agree with Prime just like offering an olive branch to Soundwave. But like you said, he's like, I desire peace, but I'm not a fool. So, mm-hmm, Cliffjumper, you were the fool there. Mm-hmm. You can't just turn your back on Starscream. But I mean, other than that, I think this issue was pretty great. And yeah, Carly, I support Carly. He should have pulled the trigger.
Yeah.
Although, how does she not have a broken hip? At the very least.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll get into it when I talk more later, but we have seen Starscream do much worse to many humans throughout the series. And then this one in the middle of a battle when you wouldn't necessarily be like careful holding this human that you're planning on killing.
So he wanted to draw out the pain as long as possible. So he squeezed really slowly. That's what was happening.
He's learning the breaking point. It didn't make sense.
She was wearing a full set of plot armor in that scene.
Yeah.
All right, Apollo, I know you've been waiting for over a week to talk about this. So, so what were your thoughts on this issue?
There were a lot of thoughts. It was very good. Very intense. I honestly felt like, you know, the way Daniel Warren Johnson does the art, it's like watching a movie. Like, it's really cool. And I was like on the edge of my seat reading the PDF because I read this last week before Jeremy and I went on, and I was just wait, what's happening? You know, and all this stuff. And I actually didn't notice that you know the song, but that is such a cool thing, such a cool little detail. So, you know, it was really good. And, Carly's a badass, you know, when she pulled the trigger, she's like moving that gun up, the giant gun just like pulls the trigger and goes flying from the backlash of it. And, Cliffjumper just, he kind of, you know, that kind of remind me of in the 86 movie when Optimus, you know, kind of shows Megatron mercy and then he hurts him, you know, when he's begging for his life. And, no, it was really good. And then I thought Carly was going to die, honestly, with Starscream, because I was really surprised because he squished the humans so quickly before. But I think you were right, Charles. He was drawing out her suffering, but he's a giant robot. So it's I don't know.
The text says crack behind her.
I was surprised. I wasn't expecting Sparky to sacrifice himself. That I wasn't expecting at all. I also wasn't expecting Devastator to crush Starscream, but that made me think of that cover from IDW that Kazama did, I believe, where Devastator's holding is squeezing Starscream. That made me think of that. I actually didn't think Starscream was going to survive that. You know, I was like, oh, you know, because they've taken out so many characters now. And, you know, I think once, you know, I have thoughts on when Megatron shows up, what's going to happen. But it was really good. And and even when Optimus reached out the sound wave about, you know, making peace, that was really unexpected. I was like, wait, what? What's happening? this is a really good issue. So if you haven't been reading this series, go buy it. It's at your local comic book store. I've been very happy with it. You know, I was a little skeptical at first because it was G1, but it's been, it's a different take on it. And at the very end, oh my gosh, with Spike with the "Where is my dad?" I was like, I was so sad. I was like, oh, he's dead. He's become one with the Matrix, you know? So it's just very good. So.
Yeah. And Hasbro, if you're not working on an Optimus Prime with a Megatron arm, what are you doing? Come on.
Yeah.
We need that now. We need the Megatron fusion cannon arm on Optimus Prime. And when he transforms to truck mode, the fusion cannon turns around. Come on, Hasbro. What are you doing? Come on, Hasbro.
You can come with a little deer.
Oh, no. Oh, man. You took it to the next level.
Yes, I did. That'd be the version before the Megatron arm, though.
Yeah.
All right, I'm saving Daryl for last. Jeremy, what are your thoughts?
All right, I don't think this was perfect. It was good. I just I have a few issues with it. So I'm going to get some of those out of the way first. On Prime's death scene, like when they're all around him, I did enjoy the homage to the 86 movie, but where he's dropping the Matrix, at first I thought, okay, that's his arm. He died. He turned gray. I didn't realize that was the Megatron arm. Because then the next page, when we see a little bit of him and he's colored, I was like, is that an issue? And then I realized the arm. So they should have shown a little bit of like the fusion cannon or something just to kind of make it clear. That's a little thing. I really liked how Devastator was portrayed, basically like a Hulk that's out of control. And just the fact, you know, the where he's like hits Starscream inadvertently and then later falls on Starscream. That's just perfect. I did enjoy that. But when he hit Starscream with Optimus Prime, Starscream screamed, IEAIEE. And then the very next page, or not the next page, the two pages, where was it? When, where was it? I just had it. When, Ratchet is grabbed. Oh, it is two pages later. Right. Crap. There it is. Yeah, the next page. When Ratchet is grabbed with his other leg, he does the exact same IE scream. It just, I don't know. It seemed weird that they would both do that particular scream when they've been doing all these other, you know, there's many other options to use when, you know, doing the exclamation. And my last big complaint was with Sparky going into the Matrix. Came out of nowhere. There was no setup for this. How did he even know that this would do anything? Was he just like given up and going to commit suicide and that was his intent? I mean, it's just, I don't know. I have big issues with that, and I'm hoping that it's clarified later what exactly happened. But it just, from me, from my perspective, I think he saw his world going to hell around him, and he just had enough and was going to kill himself. That's how I read it. Other than that, it was great, and the action was good. I still don't understand how Carly is, you know, not paralyzed at the very least, but I mean, she's a fun character. I like her. I'm happy that she survived, but I just don't understand. And then, the characterization of Optimus at the end was also spot on. You know, he's won the day. He's giving Soundwave a chance, and but, you know, then, like you said, he's not a fool. So that, I think that is perfect. And then I loved Soundwave holding Ravage, just, you know, Ravage's unconscious body. Just that takes me back to the IDW, you know, Soundwave and Ravage characterization. So it was a good book. I don't think it was a perfect book, but I enjoyed it on the whole. And it looks like in the letters column, they've decided on a name. It's going to be in the next issue, but Matrix of Lettership. I approve.
Yeah, it's a pretty good letters column name. Yeah. I mean, I think there, it's the whole thing with the Matrix. I mean, you could say Sparky, like he did have discussions with Prime about, like, you know, ever since the hospital where he like reactivated the hospital with the Matrix, Sparky, like, it, you know, had discussions with Prime. I mean, it's maybe you can say off screen, he told him a little bit about the Matrix.
If we get some flashbacks or something that explain it, then I'll be okay with it. But there's no setup for a human having anything to do with, you know, going into the Matrix to fix Optimus. Yeah. There is absolutely no basis on why he would think that would work. So,
Energy is energy.
Yeah, it's
all, energon. We're all energon. The energon universe, it's all around us. It's all in us.
It's midichlorians for Transformers.
All right, Daryl, I've kept you waiting long enough. Let's go. What did you think?
All right, first I'm going to agree with Jeremy. The bit with Sparky in the Matrix was kind of bunk. I don't agree with that at all. And wasn't Sparky supposed to have the answer for like energon production? So him, well, you know, kind of leaving is you know, kind of gonna screw him.
Maybe now Optimus will have it through the Matrix.
And if him sacrificing himself into the Matrix magically repairs Optimus, wouldn't it repair his arm? Wouldn't it give him a new arm too? So, you know, why does he still have Megatron's arm? You know, it's recreating parts anyway. You know, why can it not recreate his arm? It's all magic. It's it's kind of a BS kind of you know, way to kind of make this work. So not exactly happy with the way that they went about doing it. That being said, the issue was like the action was amazing. I am a huge fan of combiners just being absolute brutes and just destroying shit, and this was exactly what I hoped to see with a Devastator. You know, there's not a lot of intelligence there. You know, when they, you know, combine six characters into one, they don't get six times smarter. It's like they go the reverse. They get really stupid. And so it's just point and, you know, give them one syllable words to, you know, as instructions. I really enjoyed the characterization of Devastator. It was fantastic. I really liked the way that that worked. The idea that Devastator would simply just grab somebody by the leg and just, you know, smash them on the ground like the Hulk in the first Avengers movie was great. I loved it. Starscream going after, Carly and Cliffjumper, I thought was exactly something that he would do. He would, you know, find that he is not, you know, currently doing anything, but say, oh, there's something easy I can go and kill, so I'm going to go kill that until I feel like I've accomplished something, and something I can brag about later. Well, you know, you guys didn't kill anything, but I killed Cliffjumper and a human, so, you know, exactly perfectly done. I'm curious to what they're doing with Ratchet. I don't know if they're going to repair him or if they're going to leave him some kind of, like, you know, like
they could bring in his
wheelchair sled. Guy. I don't know what's the deal. I don't know what they're planning to do with this.
They could bring in the G1 mode.
Yeah.
Well, they've got the Ark back now, so I think they can probably more easily effect repairs on everybody. I hope.
Yeah. So I'm hoping for that. I'm hoping for them to get more characters going. All in all, I thought it was great. I need an explanation on how the Sparky thing worked. This it really kind of stopped me in my tracks with this one. It you know, I've loved how the action went. It was great. You take away all of the kind of the resurrection part of it, and this book was beautifully done, and I really appreciate all the effort that was put into it. Like you said, Charles, the lettering in the backs of the panels was fantastic. The whole book is littered with that stuff, so it's really fun read. Yeah. And you can look through it numerous times and you're going to see something else that's kind of cool. So
you can hear the sound effects.
You can, yeah. And it's very, very well done. So I can't remember the guy who's taking over for the art duties for issue 7, right. Yeah. Jorge Corona. So he's got his work cut out for him. This is some big shoes to fill. Luckily enough, he's got the previous artist on writing duties. So at least he'll have, you know, be able to ask suggestions if he has any, you know, if he wants to ask somebody for, you know, what they would do with this panel or something like that. But I'm curious to see where they take it. I don't know. I really enjoyed the issue, but the Sparky thing really threw me. I don't know what's going on with that. So, I'm going to give it like a, I don't know. We don't do, you know, ratings, but I'm going to still rate it like an 8 out of 10. Like that's I really enjoyed it, but, I need them to explain the Sparky thing within the next like 2 issues. Oh. They got to explain it.
Unfortunately, it says that in the back of the letters page that they're going to Cybertron next issue.
Oh, great.
So we're not going to get an explanation at least
how? In the next
issue. Yeah. How?
I think that means flashback
back.
Or we're going to see what's happening on Cybertron at this mm-hmm. moment.
Yeah.
Great.
It's Shockwave.
Mm-hmm. Shockwave.
the other thing I thought was cute was when Starscream confronts Cliffjumper and Carly, and Carly says, "You killed my dad," and Starscream's like, "Yeah, I did." I'm like, "What's dad?"
Oh yeah.
I mean, cause, and they set that up because she had to kind of explain to Cliffjumper previously, she did, and then also Spike did to Optimus.
Yeah.
Kind of the familial relations and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So that was set up and had, you know, a good payoff.
The
Matrix thing just came out of nowhere.
Yeah.
Not going to stop harping on
Didn't he say later on in the book something like, "I'm going to kill all the dads" or something? "I'm going to kill..."
Yeah.
He's like, he said first dad, then red guy, then the human or something like that.
Right. Yeah.
Starscream was written very well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Well, I think that is everything for Transformers number 6. Banger issue. Whole arc has been really good. This is really a way to jump back into a reboot. I mean, this is, you know, I really like just to contrast this with previous, incarnations of the continuity. This is a kind of a throwback to the original Marvel run where they jump right into the action. Like, you know, with Dreamwave and with IDW, those were very much like slow burn. You didn't get a lot of Transformers in like the first 3 issues before things picked up. And with this arc, it's like immediate, like, you know, you get everything bot on bot action every issue. I think this was really well done. Yeah.
Love bot on bot action. So hot. You do it to yourself, man.
Green A. I love it.
That's what she said.
Well, yeah.
As long as you admit it and you're
I'm in on the joke. I'm in on the joke. I didn't just say that for no reason.
Charles is fully embracing the moment.
Yeah.
All right. Well, yeah. So that's our review of Transformers number 6. Go pick up the series if you haven't already. I guess the trade paperback will be out like next month or the month after. So, if you want to get all the issues together, you can do that. Don't bother with all the covers. There's a million covers. You'll never get them all. Don't worry about it. Just
except for our cover for number 1.
Yes.
Pick our cover for number 1.
Yeah. Yes. That's the only one you need.
Transmissionspodcast.com/comic. Yeah. All right. That's it for this episode of Transmissions All Mode. Again, Char, thank you for joining us this week. You can tell everyone where they can find all your stuff and where they can get commissions from you.
Cool. Yeah, it's always fun to be on here. I'm glad we got to talk about issue 6. I was very looking forward to that. So you can find me on the site formerly known as Twitter and Instagram and Blue Sky at Robo Apollo. I have commissions open. There should be a link pinned with information on that. You can send me a message there. I'm also on the Transmissions Discord, which is a fun, safe Transformers community. And it's a lot of fun. And let's see if I get this right. Transmissions.com/
Transmissions podcast.
Ah, I always forget the podcast part. Okay, so transmissionspodcast.com/Discord. That is how you join. I will get it right someday.
Transmissions.com goes to something about car transmission.
Yeah, do not go to that other site. So, yeah, but thank you for having me on. I will be back.
Awesome. All right, and also, of course, at the end of every episode, we give a shout-out to our Masterpiece Donatrons. So thank you once again to John4x11good and DemonTech82. You are the folks who continue to support the podcast at our highest level on Patreon, and we really appreciate that support that helps us make this show possible. So thank you for continuing to do that. And thank you, everyone, for watching and listening every week. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
Later.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Transmissions. If you'd like to join the conversation, travel to our Discord channel at transmissionspodcast.com/discord. Want some cool Transmission swag? Feast your eyes on our Transmissions gear at transmissionspodcast.com/shop. If you'd like to support our podcast, go to transmissionspodcast.com/support or tell your friends about our show. We'll see you next time.